Well, good morning all. Merry Christmas. Great to see you all. If there's anyone I haven't met yet, my name is Andrew. And for those who are regulars here, you'll know that this month we've been reading through the Gospel of John as he tells the story of Jesus. And this morning we're up to chapter 3. And so if you'd like to follow along, it will be up on the screen, but if you'd like to follow along in your church Bibles, it'll be on page 1512, John chapter 3. And I'd like to pray before I read this part of the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word you reveal yourself, you teach us about ourselves, you give us direction for life. I pray that you will give us understanding and hearts to respond to your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to read the first half of John chapter 3. And maybe as you follow along, you can ponder the connection between what Jesus is talking about here and Christmas. So John chapter 3 verse 1. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." This is God's word. Now, I'd like to read now from an article which appeared on BBC World News earlier this month. The article goes like this. A Roman Catholic diocese in Sicily has apologized to parents after its bishop reportedly told a group of children that Santa Claus did not exist. At a religious event last week, Bishop Antonio Stagliano said Santa's red costume had been chosen by Coca-Cola for publicity. The comments infuriated parents. In an apology, Reverend Alessandro Paolino from the Diocese of Noto said the bishop had tried to underline the true meaning of Christmas. Well, there you go, that's world news. As a parent myself, I would have thought that we can teach our kids to distinguish between fact and fairy tale. Because while Santa might be a very effective marketer of Christmas, Jesus is able to transform your life. Sure, on the surface, Santa is a bit of fun. And of course, we play games of imagination and make-believe with our kids all the time. That's fine. But I'm just saying, you wouldn't want to take Santa too seriously. Because, of course, one of the messages that Santa sends to children is, you'd better watch out. You know the song? Well, why'd you better watch out? Because, okay, with Santa, there's the general expectation that he comes to bring good things, but they're not guaranteed. Because, at least according to the song, Santa has been evaluating your life. Whether you're waking or sleeping, he's been watching and he will judge you. And so when he comes to town, he will either deliver something shiny and new or perhaps fill your sack with potatoes. Now, you know what? In our Bible reading just now, we read about a man named Nicodemus. And you could say that Nicodemus followed Santa's style of religion. See, Nicodemus was a Jew from a specific sect called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees believed that they were children of God by birth, and so there's the general expectation that good things are coming. They looked forward to shiny new things in the kingdom of God. But they also believed that you'd better watch out. Because God knows whether you've been naughty or nice, and so the Pharisees would teach people, be good for goodness sake. I mean, in the Pharisees, in their efforts to stay on God's good side, they tried to keep all the laws in the Bible. In fact, they kind of invented extra rules just to make sure that they were staying on the safe side. So, for example, they'd take something from the Bible like remember the Sabbath day, and they would turn that into a very detailed list of all the things that you could or couldn't do on that day. And I think for them, God's instructions got to a collection of 613 laws. How would you like to try and remember and live by 613 laws? I think that would be a fairly stressful way to live. In fact, I reckon that would make you about as anxious as a small business owner trying to put together a COVID-safe plan. Anyway, this guy Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I want you to know that I am a fan. Well, his actual words were, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. See, if Nicodemus sees God a little bit like Santa, then maybe he sees Jesus a bit like one of Santa's elves. Jesus is someone who can give the inside word on what it really takes to get on God's good side. Jesus knows where Nicodemus is coming from and how he's thinking, and Jesus wants to set him straight. And so Jesus cuts right to the point and says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And in this one sentence, he actually cuts down Santa-styled views of God. Jesus is saying, hey, it doesn't actually matter in the end whether you think you've kept all 613 laws. Nicodemus, it's not even finally about whether you're a fan of me as a teacher. Because no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So we got the two men in our story coming from two very different starting points when it comes to us and God. See, Nicodemus is thinking, okay, I'm basically good, but what I've got to do is be really careful that I don't muck it up. Whereas Jesus says, no, if you know your Bible, then you should know that we're not even born good. Go back to the beginning of the human story. You guys know about Adam and Eve in the garden, yeah? So Adam was created good, and God told him, Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And of course, you know how the story goes. What does Adam do? Goes and eats from it. But interestingly, Adam doesn't drop dead on the spot. At least in his body, he lives long enough to raise children and grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren. But I think there's a more significant kind of death that happened in Adam. I think the point of that first story in the Bible is that on the inside, in his spirit, Adam died toward God. Because from the moment he disobeyed, Adam's instincts changed. Instead of instinctively drawing near to God, he instinctively ran away and hid. And as he began to live cut off from the life and the goodness of God, he found that he was unable to relate properly to his wife and to the world around him anymore. And as you keep on reading the Bible and you see the story of humanity going on, and actually if you look at history in general, we see that each new generation continues on from where Adam left off. For each generation, there's some sort of memory of God, but we don't really know him. And in that way, we are spiritually dead. The human condition, if I can use an illustration, you know how some people lose their sense of taste and smell when they get COVID? Well, one guy who had it said, "All I could feel on my tongue was texture, no taste. It was like wearing a surgical glove on my tongue." That's a bit like us toward God when we're spiritually dead. We may have some awareness that he's there and he's doing things, but he's altogether unenjoyable. Some of you might be thinking, this is a bit grinchy, isn't it? Don't we need some happy news for Christmas Day? And most definitely, I'm getting to the happy news. But actually, if we want to understand why the news is happy, we need to come from Jesus' starting point. We need to come from a realistic starting point. Because this is the real world. I mean, in the real world, we don't live as if people are fundamentally good. At least I'm guessing you locked your house before you came here. I'm guessing you don't share your PIN number in public. When it comes to real life, I think we know that there's something wrong with humanity. But if we can accept that, then Christmas is truly good news. Because Jesus came as a new beginning. He came as a second Adam. He came to bring new life. Jesus came as a human in right relationship with God. And Jesus' life is so overflowing that he's able to share it with us. And now we're beginning to get to what Jesus means when he says, "You must be born again." It's because he was born that we can be born again. 500 years ago, a French pastor named John Calvin put it like this. He said, "The Son of God also became the Son of Man. He received what is ours." He received a human nature to transfer to us what is his, to give us his right relationship with God, making that which is his by nature to become ours by grace. Or if that's a little bit wordy, in more recent times, singer-songwriter Bob Dylan put it like this. Bob Dylan sang, "I was blinded by the devil, born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb, but by his grace I have been touched. By his word I have been healed. By his hand I've been delivered. By his spirit I've been sealed." So when you are born again, Jesus reaches out to you with his spirit. His Holy Spirit brings new life, brings Jesus' life within you. And this actually takes us out of a situation where we'd better watch out. And this puts us into a relationship of love and trust when it comes to God. If God once tasted like rubber gloves, well, when you're born again, you realize that he begins to taste like sweet Christmas pavlova. And with a new taste for God and for his love comes a change in your life. That's important to realize that if you're born again, it will change your life. Sometimes people get a bit suspicious of the idea that, you know, no, God should judge us according to whether we've been naughty or nice, because otherwise it's a ticket to just do whatever you want. But Jesus is saying, no, if you're born again, that'll give you new desires, a desire to obey. And it won't be a forced obedience under the threat of potatoes in your stocking. It'll be a free, willing obedience. You'll hunger to obey, just like you hunger for Christmas lunch. So friends, when Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, if you can accept that, then it is good news. Because Jesus is talking about how he brings us into a relationship of delight and of true freedom. You notice it's not a relationship that you just get born into. Just because you're from a Christian family, just because you're kind of a fan of Jesus, doesn't mean that this is automatically yours. No, you must be born again. Okay, but maybe you're wondering how. What do I have to do? Well, in a sense, Jesus' point is this new life, it's not something you can give yourself. It's a gift from God. The response that Jesus wants from you is trust him. You receive Jesus by trusting him as your Lord and Savior, saying, yes, here is someone. Here is someone who can give me true life for eternity. We read in verse 15, everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And so friends, remembering that this is good news, we're going to sing again now. We might not sing, "You'd Better Watch Out, You'd Better Not Cry." We might sing "Hark the Herald Angels," because the last line of this song is really interesting. We've got it up on the screen. So end of verse 3, it says, Jesus was born to raise the sons of earth. Who are the sons of earth? So remember, Adam was the man who was made from the earth. So it's the sons of Adam, it's us. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Born again. Born spiritually. A new life right with God. So what's the meaning of Christmas? Why was Jesus born? Well, his purpose in coming as a baby and then doing all that he did in his life on earth, his purpose is that we be born again. His mission in coming to earth was so that we can share in his life. His goal was that his delight in God will be shared with us, so that we know the Father as a giver, as a generous one, as a good God. And so, shall we sing again now? Hark the herald angels sing. Would you all please stand? Let's sing glory to the newborn King.